Kuranga kurara kusumba vaikanka trikuta shishira patanga ruchaka nishata shrivasa kapila sanka vadurya jaru dihangsa rishabha naga kalanjara narada dayo vimshati girayo mero Karnikaya hivakeshara bhuta mula deshe paritta upakliptaha. So the translation is, there are other mountains beautifully arranged around the foot of Mount Meru, like the filaments around the whorl of a lotus flower. Their names are Kuranga, Kurara, Kusumba, Vaikanka, Trikuta, Shishira, Patanga, Ruchaka, Nishada, Siniwasa, Kapila, Shanka, Vaidurya, Jarudi, Hamsa, Rishabha, Naga, Kalanjara, and Narada. So these are names of the mountains. Does anyone know who lived on Trikuta Mountain? A little test for you. Who lived on Trikuta Mountain? Nobody knows. Lives. No one knows. Ravana. Don't you remember? You're supposed to be all Ram Bhaktis. What happened to your Ram Bhakti? You understand? Trikuta was the mountain. You remember it now? Trikuta was Ravana, where Ravana lived. So the next, reading the next text, text 27. Jatara devakuta merum purvenashtadasha yojana sahasram udagayata dvi sahasram pitu tungau pavata evam aparena pavana pariyatrao dakshinena kailasa karavirao pragayanta vevam utaras trishringa makaravasta biritai parishritognir iva paratash chakasti kanchana girihi. On the eastern side of Sumeru Mountain are two mountains named Jatara and Devakuta, which extend to the north and south for 18,000 yojanas. That's 144,000 miles. Similarly, on the western side of Sumeru are two mountains named Pavana and Pariyatra, which also extend north and south for the same distance. On the southern side of Sumeru are two mountains named Kailasa and Karavira, which extend east and west for 18,000 yojanas, and on the northern side of Sumeru, extending for the same distance east and west, are the two mountains named Trishringa and Makara. The width and height of all these mountains is 2,000 yojanas, that's 16,000 miles. Sumeru, a mountain of solid gold, shining as brilliantly as fire, is surrounded by these eight mountains. Another question. Who lives on Mount Kailas? That's good. At least some of you knew that. Text 28. Meror murdane bhagavatad atmayonir madhyata upakliptam purim ayatayojana sahasrim samachaturasrama Shata kombim vadante. In the middle of the summit of Meru is the township of Lord Brahma. Each of its four sides is calculated to extend for 10 million yojanas. That's 80 million miles. Sometimes a yojana is taken as 8 miles and sometimes it's taken as 10 miles. There's different calculations given. It is made entirely of gold, and therefore learned scholars call it Shatakombim. Shatakombi. Text 29. Tamanu parito lokapalanam ashtanam yatadisham yatarupam turiyamanena purostap upaklaptaha. Surrounding Brahmapuri in all directions are the residences of the eight principal governors of the planetary systems, beginning with King Indra. These abodes are similar to Brahmapuri, but are one-fourth the size. So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur confirms that the townships of Lord Brahma and the eight subordinate governors of the planetary systems, beginning with Indra, are mentioned in other Puranas. Merol Navapurani Shur Manovatyamaravati Tejovati Samyamani Tata Krishnangana Para Shraddhavati Gandhavati Tatachanya Mahodeha Yashovati Japa Brahmendra Boihadinam Yatakramam. So this is descriptive. Brahma's township is known as Manovati, and those of his assistants, such as Indra and Agni, are known as Amaravati, Tejovati, Samyamani, Krishnangana, Sudhavati, Gandhavati, Mahodaya, and Yashovati. Brahmapuri is situated in the middle, and the other eight puris surround it in all directions. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fifth canto, 16th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled A Description of Jambu Dweep. And now we'll go on to the 17th chapter, which has many nice stories there. The Descent of the River Ganges is the 17th chapter. And I'm going to read the chapter summary. The 17th chapter describes the origin of the Ganges River and how it flows in and around Ila Vrita Varsha. There's also a description of the prayers of Lord Shiva offered to Lord Sankarshan, part of the quadruple expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Vishnu once approached Bali Maharaj while the king was performing a sacrifice. The Lord appeared before him as Trivikrama or Vamana and begged alms from the king in the form of three steps of land. With two steps, Lord Vamana covered all the three planetary systems and pierced the covering of the universe with the toes of his left foot. A few drops of water from the causal ocean leaked through this hole and fell on the head of Lord Shiva, where they remained for 1,000 millenniums. These drops of water are the sacred Ganges water. It first flows into the heavenly planets, which are located on the soles of Lord Vishnu's feet. The Ganges River is known by many names, such as the Bhagirathi and the Janavi. It purifies Dhruvaloka and the planets of the seven sages, because both Dhruva and the sages have no other desire than to serve the Lord's lotus feet. The Ganges River, emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord, inundates the heavenly planets, especially the moon, and then flows through Brahmapuri atop Mount Meru. Here the river divides into four branches known as Sita, Akala, Kanandida, Chakshu, and Vadra, which then flow down to the water of salt ocean, or to the ocean of salt water, sorry. The branch known as Sita flows through Shikhara Parvat and the Ganda Madana Parvat, and then flows down to the Vadrashva Varsha, where it mixes with the ocean of salt water in the west. The Chakshu branch flows through Malyana Vangiri, and after reaching Ketumala Varsha, mixes with the ocean of salt water in the west. The branch known as Bhadra flows onto Mount Meru, Mount Kumuda, and the Nila, Shweta, and Shingavan mountains before it reaches Kurudesh, where it flows into the ocean of salt water in the north. The Alakananda branch flows through Brahmalaya crosses over many mountains, including the Himakuta and the Himakuta, and then reaches Bhartavarsha, where it flows into the southern side of the ocean of salt water. Many other rivers and their branches flow through the nine varshas. The tract of land known as Bhartavarsha is the field of activities, and the other eight varshas are for persons who are meant to enjoy heavenly comfort. In each of these eight beautiful provinces, the celestial denizens enjoy various standards of material comfort and pleasure. A different incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead distributes his mercy in each of the nine varshas of Jambudvipa. In the Ila Vritta Varsha, Lord Shiva is the only male. There he lives with his wife, Bhavani, who is attended by many servants. If any other male enters that province, Bhavani curses him to become a woman. Lord Shiva worships Lord Sankarshan by offering various prayers, one of which is as follows. My dear Lord, please liberate all your devotees from material life and bind all the non-devotees to the material world. Without your mercy, no one can be released from the bondage of material existence. So, Om Gana Timadanda Shah Ganam Janash Lakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, as I said before, most of the previous verses are descriptive of what's happening in the different planetary systems. And now we're getting into some stories about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Supreme Personality of Godhead's devotees. Particularly in this particular chapter, we're talking about the descent of the river Ganges. Of course, the Ganges River is directly the foot bathing water of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada many times said that if you bathe regularly in the Ganges, you won't get sick. But also in the Bhagavatam, there is a statement of something that is even more purifying than the Ganges. It's interesting that people go to the holy places, and they generally go, as we say, or as it says in the Bhagavatam, to take a bath. But the Bhagavatam states, Yatirtha buddhi shalile nakari chit chineshu abhigeshu se eva gokura. So one who goes to a holy place simply to take a bath. Now, it's not bad to take a bath. We're not saying don't take a bath. You should take a bath. You should bathe in the Ganges. And when I go to Mayapur, we regularly go swimming in the Ganges and sometimes have water sports and throw mud at each other in the Ganges. But if one simply goes, simply means only goes to the holy place to bathe, then Saiva Gokura. Then he's compared to the cow or the ass. Or, as my godbrother Gopi Pranadana Prabhu said, sometimes that Saiva Gokura can be considered to mean a cow's ass, not the back portion of a cow. But the there's a donkey, which is like an ass, who carries all the hay for the cow. You ever seen that in India? Anyone of you been in India? You see a little tiny donkey, but not about that small, but a little bigger, and there's a big pile of grass on top of the donkey, and the grass seems to be moving by itself through the street. And if you look underneath the grass, there's a little donkey. So that... That's an ass. And of course, people who work hard, you know, day and night, mudha, same thing. Like Krishna says, that avajanti mudha. I mean, he uses this expression quite often. Namam dushkritino mudha. That also means ass. When it's just like he's working so hard, they don't have time for spiritual life. Just like someone said to me yesterday that, dear Guru Maharaj, now that I have this job, I'm just thinking of my job all day long and I don't have time to chant. I said that, I didn't say to her that you're acting like an ass, but but that's actually what ass life is like. You know, someone works so hard they don't have time for their bhakti. The bhakti is the most important thing, and the work is meant to support the bhakti. And if you're working too much so you can't do your bhakti, then basically, mudha. Don't go around telling that to everybody. You're a Muda. But if you're working so much you can't hear and chant regularly, then it's called, what is that? Achyaharu Prayasasya. Over-endeavor for mundane things. You understand? Prayasas means to over-endeavor for some mundane thing. Achyaharu means to collect too much. And so we should avoid that. Anyway, so getting back to the whole point, you know, so Gokara means like a, that's sort of an ass. So if one goes to the holy place, he's doing the same thing the cows and the asses do. They just go bathing in the river, like you see the cows and the donkeys and buffalo. Of course, nowadays, not so many cows, mostly buffaloes in India. And buffalo milk, Prabhupada said, rots your brain instead of purifies you. And people, you understand buffalo milk? You don't have buffalo milk here, I don't think. These buffaloes are these ugly creatures. In India, those of you who've been in India have seen them. They look like horrible. And they're so stupid that if you stand on the road, they'll run into you. You know, they're not like cows. Cows are intelligent, you know, they could go this way, that way, they can chase after you. I had a bull chase after me and Govardhan one time was chasing down the path. But buffalo never chase after you because they're too stupid. They just go, hoo, 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 hoo. Isn't it? So, anyway, so getting back to the point. So, the cow and the ass are just bathing in the holy places. And that's all right. You know, it's better than nothing. But if one goes to a holy place simply to bathe in the Ganges or bathe in the river, the sacred river, then basically he's compared to that. This is a Bhagavatam verse, of course, Saiva Gokura. Yatirtha Buddhi Shalile Nakarichit. You know, one thinks that any sort of river is a holy place, is a holy river, or one goes to the holy places just to take a bath, then he's like a cow or an ass. So the real purpose of going to the holy places is to hear about Krishna from great devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I was just listening to a class yesterday where Prabhupada was talking about his interactions with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that the devotees were doing a Braj Mandal Parikrama. I think most of you know what a Braj Mandal Parikrama means, to go around the Vrindavan or Braj area. And as they were doing the Braj Mandal Parikrama, they were stopping at a place called Koshi. Koshi is like in the far end, the far north end of Braj Mandal. So what happened is that they announced that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is going to be leaving the parikrama tomorrow. And those of you who want to go to see this deity tonight can go to see. There's a deity of Vishnu. Vishnu, who had Lord Brahma coming out of his navel. Those of you who went on Braj Mandal Parikrama with me know, have seen that deity. Anyway. So those who want to go to see the deity, go to see the deity, and those who want to stay back and hear Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they can stay back. So most of the devotees went to see the deity. And a few, actually the older devotees, you know, the sannyasis, a few of them stayed with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Prabhupada stayed with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And at that time, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur noted that Abhay Babu, he likes to hear. And Prabhupada said something very interesting about the hearing process, how he had so much faith in the hearing process. Prabhupada said that when he first went to hear Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Calcutta, he didn't understand what he was saying. It's interesting. I mean, he understood the English, of course, but because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur spoke in such elevated, you know, big words. Like if you read the Brahma Samhita commentary of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you'll see it's very, you need a dictionary to be able to understand what he's saying. The materialistic domain cannot stretch beyond, you know, reach the transcendental autocrat. Who is forever enjoying, you know, so these are big words for most of you. So Srila Prabhupada said that he sat there, but he didn't really understand most of what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying, other than Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur telling him, you're an educated young man, you should go and preach in English. That he understood. But the rest of it, it was just like, you know, very high philosophy. And it's such an interesting thing that Prabhupada said, because many of us have experienced that when we first came to Krishna consciousness. There's a lot of things that we may not understand. I mean, for example, the first time I heard Prabhupada, he was giving a lecture at the University of Florida in Gainesville. And this is a big university. Prabhupada was standing out there in the middle of the campus. There was a stage that the devotees had erected for him. And then Prabhupada started talking about the Purusha avatars. I think you all know the Purusha avatars. It's, there's the Mahavishnu, the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and Shiradakshaya Vishnu. So in the middle of this university, where, you know, the college students, educated people, and Americans who really didn't even know who Vishnu was, they didn't even know they weren't the bodies, they didn't even know that they shouldn't take intoxication. This is the middle of the hippie years. Prabhupada started talking about these topics. And me too, you know, I didn't know. I mean, I just shaved my head 3 days before that. And, you know, I was basically trying to figure out, you know, where I was. And so Prabhupada started, and I was thinking, this is far out. You know, I don't understand a word he's saying. You know, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Shiradakshaya Vishnu. I don't know how to relate it to anything. But anyway, I heard. So Prabhupada said the same thing. Of course, I can't compare myself to Prabhupada, but really, the point I'm making is about transcendental sound. That Prabhupada said that he really didn't understand too much. However, he had the faith to hear. And by hearing, there's purification. Even if you don't understand, Prabhupada would even tell the devotees who had to sit through some discourse in Bengali or some discourse in Hindi that they were making a benefit or getting advanced just by hearing what Prabhupada was saying, even though they didn't understand what Prabhupada was saying. Because the transcendental sound vibration coming from the lips of the pure devotee contains within it the saffron dust particles of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God. See, even understanding is not necessary. Just like children, sometimes they're sitting, little babies, sometimes sitting through a Bhagavatam class, and obviously they don't understand a word we're saying. Yet they're getting benefit because they're hearing, or hearing the holy names. Even though one may not understand what the holy names mean, if one hears the holy names from the lips of an authorized devotee, then one can actually make spiritual advancement. But it's important, it's actually important, as I was talking about the other day, to hear from someone who is a devotee. I was also I listen to all these tapes of Prabhupada, especially when I'm in the car. Not tapes, sorry, MP3s. Nobody listens to tapes anymore. Because maybe some of you do. But we have an MP3 player. So I was listening to another one where Prabhupada was talking about Mayavadis who do chanting, who chant. This is a conversation in London. Oh, it was a really interesting conversation. Prabhupada was talking to the followers of this yogi called Maharishi, Mahesh Yogi. Maharishi, what a name. Maha means great, Rishi. Mahesh is the name of Lord Shiva. Anyway, so Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. So he was speaking to their followers about mantras, which is really, a really interesting discussion. And they said, well, we have a mantra from our spiritual master. And this Maharishi used to sell the mantras to his disciples. And he used to tell them that the mantra is secret. You can't tell anyone else. So he would sell. First he started selling for $35, then he increased the price as more people became interested. It's like what is that called? The law of supply and demand. Anyone who studies economics. The demand increased, so he upped the price. So everybody, So his disciples were getting these secret mantras. Actually, there were only two or three mantras we discovered later on. They were seed mantras, like Aim or Klim. And they would chant this mantra silently. So they were talking to Prabhupada about chanting the mantra. And Prabhupada asked, you know, what's your mantra, basically? And they said, secret. And Prabhupada, instead of blasting them, which I would have done, I would have just said, what's this nonsense? Prabhupada told the story of Ramanujacharya. I think most of you know that story. Ramanujacharya received the mantra from his spiritual master. His spiritual master said, it's supposed to be secret. Because if anyone hears it, they'll become liberated, so keep it secret. And so Ramanujacharya, immediately after receiving that mantra from his guru, went to the top of the highest building in the city and broadcast the mantra, not on TV or anything, because it wasn't TV at that time, or radio, or internet. But he just yelled, anyone who wants to be liberated, please chant this mantra. Om Namo Narayanaya. Om. So he initiated basically the whole city at that point. But the guru had told him, that's a secret mantra. And the guru tested him even before he gave it. And the guru ran out, you know, really angry. He said, you have disobeyed the order of the guru. Don't you understand this is a great offense? And Ramanujacharya said, yes, I understand it's an offense, but I'm willing to go to hell so that these people will be liberated. And then basically the guru offered his obeisances at the disciples' feet, saying, you are better than me. So Prabhupada was using that story, the reason I'm telling the story, to sort of smash this Maharishi's whole philosophy. Because Prabhupada said, if a mantra is powerful, then it should be broadcast to everyone, if it is actually powerful. Of course, sometimes the Mayavadis, they have this concept that if you speak your mantra publicly, then it loses potency. I've heard that before. Other people, there's another thing that sometimes even devotees have told me, that if you when you're saying Gayatri, you're saying your Gayatri mantra, if your hand is out there, the demons will steal your mantra from you or something. You heard of that before? Come on. Where's that in the Vedic literatures? I mean, people go to India and they come up with all these like really interesting things. So if a mantra is powerful, especially the Hare Krishna mantra, it must actually always be powerful. However, Prabhupada said something different about, something interesting about the mantra. He said that if a mantra is not received in disciplined succession, now, he did quote this verse, that Vaishnava Mukod Girnam Putam Harikatam Ritam Shravananaiva Kartavyam Sarpo Chisiyatapayam. That if, this is a verse that from the Puranas, I believe this is Padma Purana, and Sanatana Goswami also quoted it. He said that if you receive your mantra from a non-devotee, then it's like milk touched by the lips of a poisonous serpent. And so, but Prabhupada also said that if you don't receive your mantra in disciplic succession, he said that you don't get a mantra. It's not there. It's basically not there. Because the mantra, at least the Hare Krishna Maha mantras, spiritual mantras, they must descend. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also said that the mantra or the Hare Krishna mantra cannot appear simply by the movement of the lips and the tongue. So it's not a material thing. It has to come down from above. So when we're actually chanting and not connecting to disciplic succession, at best it's namabhas. Namabhas means like a reflection or a shadow of the actual name. And you know, there's some benefit, there's great benefit. Even Haridas Thakur said one gets liberated with namabhas chanting. However, one doesn't get pure devotional service. You have to chant the pure name, the Shuddhanam, to get pure devotional service, to purify your heart that way. Namabhas is great. I mean, you can just say Ha Ram, like the Muslims say, how horrible, and get benefit. But when the Mayavadi is chant, it's not Nama Bhas. It's either the mantra is not there, as Prabhupada said, or Nama Parad. And we mentioned this the other day, that Krishna experiences that chanting of a Mayavadi to be like a thunderbolt hitting his heart. Can you imagine, like a thunderbolt, you know, someone hitting you with a hammer or a thunderbolt? In other words, Krishna feels pain when someone who is a Mayavadi chants Hare Krishna. That's interesting, isn't it? Krishna feels pain. So the point is that we should hear from those devotees who are strictly following and connected to the disciplic succession. And then even if we don't understand, even if we have to force ourselves to hear, then we get spiritual benefit, as Prabhupada showed, or at least illustrated when he said that he didn't understand Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the beginning, but he just sat there because he had faith that that sound vibration would purify him. Of course, Prabhupada obviously is always a pure devotee, and obviously he always understands, but he was speaking for our benefit. Pure devotees do that. You know, they act like one of us sometimes so that they can show the different things, like the pure devotees, they accept initiation, they set examples in devotional service. They don't have to do any of that because they're already pure devotees. They're interested in devotees. But as Krishna says in the Gita, yad yad acharati ashrestas tatad evetu rojanaha. So, getting to the point of holy places, so when we go to a holy place, we should sit down and hear from Krishna's devotees. And Prabhupada actually said about the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, he said all the holy places are contained within this one mandir. And Krishna Balaram, there's no need to... I mean, of course, Prabhupada did take us out in Parikrama, but he said there's no need. You can actually sit down and just hear Bhagavatam class and just stay within the four walls of the Krishna Balaram Mandir and make spiritual advancement. But most of us have this concept of, you know, really going around to all the holy places, seeing every nook and corner of everything, and we sort of neglect this hearing, or we hear just some concocted stories when we go to the holy place. I mean, that's another thing. Sometimes you go on these tours of the holy places, and people will say, well, Krishna did this there, and you ask them, where does it say that in the Puranas? And then they'll just say, I heard it from some village lady. that happens sometimes. You know, they just told me this is the well that Krishna made with his flute. I mean, many of the stories, of course, do come from the Acharyas and the Puranas, but really, for a story to have any sort of spiritual benefit, it has to be sin. It's not that I can make up a story. I say, well, Krishna came here to Fiji, and he built the temple or something like that. Yeah, I can make up all these stories. In the future, nobody will remember what actually happened, how the temple was built. You know, Krishna dug the foundation for the temple with his flute, and that's why we have a temple here, right? You know, 100 years from now, people may believe me. So in other words, the stories, whatever we hear, who we hear from, has to descend. And then it purifies the heart. Vanti Ritkarna Rasayana Kata. To Joshana Dashu, Apavarga Vartmani Shura Ritir Bhakti Anukra Meshati. So that's the point. Hear from someone who is connected to Krishna in disciplic succession. It will be purifying. Even if you don't understand, even if you're bored, you know, sometimes people said, well, I've heard that class of Prabhupada's before. He's just saying the same thing. I already know. I know I'm not the body. I know what demons do. You know, let me hear something new. I know that rhymes. So, but just force yourself to hear from Krishna's devotees, and then you'll become so happy. I mean, it's like we're repeating the Maha Mantra all the time, too. It's not that we have a new mantra every day. I mean, sometimes devotees are like that, too. I was just told that when the devotees, sometimes they go out on the Sankirtan, and they're not satisfied just chanting Hare Krishna. They have to come up with, you know, Radhe, 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 Radhe. You know, at least there was one devotee who told me that happened recently. You know, they're on Jagannath, Radhe Yatra. Radhe, 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 Radhe. But we should be... Prabhupada didn't really appreciate that, you know, people chanting publicly, Radhe, Radhe. And that's very intimate. And so we chant the Maha Mantra. And Prabhupada said the Maha Mantra is the most powerful mantra. Getting back to the point about Prabhupada's discussion with these followers of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, they said they were arguing with Prabhupada. They said, Prabhupada, oh, they didn't say Prabhupada. Of course, they didn't, weren't respectful. But they said, if the Maha Mantra is so powerful, why do you have to chant anything else? And Prabhupada said, yes, it is the most powerful. Basically, that's all you really have to chant. And the other mantras are there to support the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And, of course, they didn't know what to say. So Prabhupada, in a very nice way, defeated these followers of the Maharishi, even though they were challenging Srila Prabhupada. But the whole point is to hear. Shushushro Shradhananashya Vasudeva Kitaruchi Shan Mahatsudeya Vipra Punyatirtha Shanevana. As it says, Shushushro Shradhananashya. Well, if one hears with faith, like Prabhupada heard with faith, Vasudeva Kitaruchi, one gets a taste for hearing the Krishna Kata, Shan Mahatsudeya Vipra Punyatirtha Nashevana. So this actually is like a tirtha, or it creates a tirtha. There's that word, punya tirtha nishevana, the pious tirtha. One renders service at a pious tirtha. That's basically what the Sanskrit says. And a tirtha, just one final point, the word tirtha in Sanskrit means a crossing place, like a bridge, like you have bridges in Fiji, and sometimes the bridges get washed away by the tsunamis or by the hurricanes or the cyclones. So the tirthas are actually places by which you can cross over to the spiritual world. Or in science fiction, what did I call it? A portal. Anyone seen science fiction films here? No. A portal means like a place you can enter at one place of the universe and then end up at the other place of the universe. That's called a science fiction portal. So in the same way, the tirtha is like that. So when one, the chanting of Hare Krishna is going on, the chanting of Krishna Kata is going on, that place, even if the place is not Vrindavana Mayapur, even if the place is Suva, that place becomes a tirtha, and a place by which you can cross over to the spiritual world. So, any questions or comments about any of these points? Yeah, Jambala. Yeah. The reason, there's many reasons. I mean, the natives are attracted to the movement. Everyone's attracted to the Lord's holy names. But we have to present in such a way, just like sometimes you have to package something. Even if you have a nice product, let's say you have a soap, a perfect soap, that cleans your clothes like instantaneously. But if you just put the soap out like that, most people will not try it. They'll just say, you know, I want to buy something with a nice package. So in the same way, we have to learn how to package Krishna consciousness according to the different cultures, right? And so basically we're going to preach a lot to the natives, and the holy names are all attractive. We may have to package Krishna consciousness with some nice guitar playing, you understand, and people who can sing, keeping a tune. I mean, not to criticize, but many of the devotees here can't keep a tune. You understand what I mean? Keeping a tune means they're chanting, Hare Krishna. I mean, I've heard it. I'm not just making that up. And so the interesting thing about the natives here, they're really musical. They have good musical inclinations. And they're really good on their instruments. I mean, when I come into Fiji, they're playing the guitars. They're not chanting Hare Krishna. They're chanting, I don't know what they're chanting. Aloha. No, that's Hawaii. But they're chanting, and it's nice music. So we may have to package the holy name in such a way, you know, with professional devotees, of course, not just professional musicians, not that we just hire some Bollywood stars, Bollywood singers, to come here. But we have to package it in such a way so that with nice melodic things. You understand? Melodic things. And then people become attracted. Or they distribute prasadam. I mean, there's different methods for approaching. Like in America, to approach the populace, we have to do like yoga preaching. You know, devotees make believe they're yogis. And people come in, and sometimes because the people are afraid to chant Hare Krishna, they have to chant them, have them chant Gauranga, Gauranga. Just like Sunday. Sunday there was a yoga class going on in the temple. They weren't chanting Gauranga. They were chanting Soham, Soham. That's a Mayavadi chant. I hate to tell you that. Did you know that? And I was just watching. I almost fell over laughing. That you seen the yoga classes here on Sunday?
Yeah.
Soham. It was so miserable that I said, these people are, anyway, I hope I'm not offending anybody. But so the devotees, instead of soham, you are, that is, you know, or aham brahmasmi, they can chant Gauranga, even if they don't have some problem with Krishna. Gauranga or some other nice thing. Jagannath. Jagannath. Why so hum? Isn't it? A Mayavadi mantra being chanted in the Hare Krishna temple. Anyway, at least they're paying, right? They pay for it?
I hope so.
I hope so. So hum. I am that I am. All right, anyway, we have to end now. Yes, a portal. The temple is a portal. The holy name is, we can't say that holy name is a portal, is just a portal. The holy name transports us because it's also chanted in the spiritual world. A portal is something you go through when you leave behind, but the holy name you take with you. But when you chant the holy name purely, it creates a portal. That's the difference. I mean, the holy name is always there in the spiritual world, material world. But nobody should be chanting Soham. Aham Brahmasmi. Aham Brahmasmi. Aham Brahmasmi. Soham. Ashivat. Chiranji. Okay. Enough. All right. All glories to Shri Prabhupada. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.